Hey y'all, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend, and today is episode 16. I can't believe we're on episode 16. These episodes have really flown by, and I have mixed emotions about our topic today. Because on one hand, I know that the Lord has called me to share this testimony. I know it has been over a week now that in different ways I have felt the Lord communicate with me that, like, this is the topic to speak on. This is the testimony to be shared. So in a way, like, I have a surety and I have a confirmation. I have a knowing that the Lord is going to speak through me to you today, that the Lord is going to move through this testimony. But there's also fear that comes with sharing this testimony. In all honesty, there's a worry that comes with sharing this testimony. And I've been putting just talking about this topic in general on the back burner for a while. I've really tried to kind of scurry away from this topic because there are a lot of mixed emotions when people hear this topic discussed. And, you know, there's a chance that there are going to be people who misunderstand what I say and people who take offense at what I say. I know that God did not give me the spirit of fear, so I know that these fears and I know that these worries are not from the Lord. So I rebuke those in Jesus' name. But I'll be honest with you all that I have had an apprehension because I know how easily this entire topic and what I'm about to say can be misconstrued, misinterpreted, or people to take offense. But I'm going to speak to y'all about it today anyway. And I believe that we're just going to full send, we're going to full send the title of this podcast today, which is going to be Leaving Catholicism, my story about leaving Catholicism. I'm going to share with y'all how I knew that the Lord confirmed for me that Catholicism was not the path for me to continue down, how the Lord led me away from Catholicism, how Catholicism was personally affecting me. I'm going to share with y'all a lot of different things today. And I do want to be very clear in the beginning of this message, sharing with y'all that I today am strictly talking about my personal experience. This is my personal experience. I am not condemning Catholicism. I am not telling people to leave Catholicism. I am not in any way saying that Catholicism is wrong. I am sharing my personal testimony about how it was not the path for me. I believe that there are some people who will find Jesus in Catholicism. I believe that some people are going to find their salvation in Catholicism, that Catholicism is going to be the path for some people to really grow and cultivate their relationship with Jesus, just as I believe that a non-denominational church may be that pathway for somebody. The same way that a Baptist church or a Methodist church. I am strictly saying that it was not my path. And I'm going to share with y'all how I knew it was not my path and how the Lord worked in my life. So I pray that this episode blesses you, whether you are non-denominational, whether you are Catholic, whether you are Baptist, whether you are Methodist, whether you're Presbyterian, whatever denomination you are, if you're not sure what you are, if you're atheist, if you're someone who doesn't know about Jesus and you stumbled upon this episode, whoever you are listening, I pray that this episode blesses you and I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks through me to you today. I pray that I am a mouthpiece to be used by God today. Now I want to start off giving y'all a little bit of background. Now, I was raised Roman Catholic. My father's side of my family were all raised Catholic by my grandmother. My grandmother was a Roman Catholic, and she absolutely loved Jesus. And I would say that she in my life was probably the best example of Christ-like love. I really saw the fruits of the Spirit through her. I saw patience. I saw joy. I saw peace. I saw understanding. I saw long suffering. Like this woman, if I can ever think back of who was a prime example of being more Christ-like and showing the love of Jesus Christ, it was her. And I truly believe that she had a strong relationship with Jesus. I believe that she is in heaven. I believe that she lived her life walking by faith. And she had kids, and she raised her kids going to Catholic Church. Not all of them stuck with Catholicism once they became adults. And my grandmother was actually the person who introduced me to the church. I would go with my grandmother, it would be me and her, every Sunday to the Catholic Church. So, although my father's side was raised in it, the majority of them did not stick with Catholicism, including, my parents. They weren't every Sunday present at church, but my grandmother was very present. And having divorced parents, my grandmother would take me every Sunday, starting when I was, I would say this was before elementary, was kind of my first memories I have going. And every Sunday, I was going with her to the Catholic Church. And once I got old enough, I believe it was second grade, that was when I started my CCD classes, which was your Sunday school classes. And in the Catholic Church, by the time you're 8 years old, when you're in second grade, that is normally when you go through your first communion classes. You have to go in order to be able to receive communion in the Catholic Church. You need to, if you're an adult, you need to be a Catholic, which requires you're going through classes, to be able to convert. There are things that you have to go through, I'll say that, before you're able to take communion in the church. But if you are a child being raised in Catholicism, in second grade, you go into First Communion classes, which is Sunday school classes. I believe mine started like in September and they go until like April or May. And every Sunday you're learning about the Lord. And the girls at the end of the class get to wear little pretty white dresses with veils. You look like little brides. And the boys suits. And you go through this kind of ritual at the church. You go through this, I don't know another word other than ritual. I'm sure there is a better word, but that's how it felt to me, was just more of, a ritual. They do the same steps every year, and you are able to take communion. And that is your first, like, real introduction into Catholicism. You're really getting your foot in through the door. And after that, you go to Sunday school classes and attend those until you're old enough to get confirmed. So that's what I did starting in second grade every Sunday. So third, fourth, fifth, sixth, every Sunday I was going to my Sunday school. So I was heavily immersed in Catholicism. But I want to be very clear that my life outside of the church did not look Christ-like. Because it was my grandmother taking me, but in my day-to-day life at home, I did not have that religious aspect being upheld. There wasn't a Jesus first, Christ first. There wasn't a whole thing about, really showing the fruits of the Spirit and really death to self and taking up your cross and self-denial and all of those things. So I was hearing that heavily in Sunday. But then I wasn't seeing that example in my life throughout the week. And if anything, I was encouraged to kind of act opposite. I'm not saying I was encouraged to be a bad person. But the ways of the Lord are above us, right? And I wasn't really being taught to live biblically. Real biblical good person is different than our definition in the world of a good person. And that wasn't what was being established in me. So, I had the head knowledge of my religion and of Jesus, but it wasn't really taking root in the heart. Now, when I was 17 years old, I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. And that came soon after my grandmother died, that I was going to church with every Sunday. And I honestly didn't want to getting confirmed, doing all that. That wasn't a thing for me. I didn't have a strong connection with Jesus. I didn't have a strong pull to the church. At this point in my life, I was living very freely, willfully sinning very freely. And honestly, the last thing I really wanted to do was surrender my ways. But it was a way to honor my grandmother. And you know, one of my uncles who was a practicing Catholic really encouraged me, like, just get confirmed. You've already done it this far. Like, go ahead and do it. So when I was 17, I took those classes and I got confirmed, meaning I was a full-fledged member of the Catholic Church, because, you know, you do your first communion, everything like that, then you go through all those classes. And then once you're old enough, I believe most people do it when they're in high school. At that point in your life, you know, you have to write a letter to the priest and you take all these classes, you go through your confessions, you actually take a new saint name. My saint name was Saint Teresa of Benedicta, Benedictine. She died in World War II. So she was more of like a recent saint. Wonderful to read about her. But yeah, that was, so I got confirmed, I took a new saint name, and I was a full member in the Catholic Church. And after that, I left the church. I stopped going. I was in high school by the time I stopped going. I know my senior year, I wasn't going to church at all because I was partying on the weekends. I was sleeping all day Sunday. So yeah, that was my leaving Catholicism, starting off. My first time leaving Catholicism. And keep in mind at that point, like, I didn't have a strong relationship with Jesus. I wasn't feeling strong conviction. I didn't feel the need to leave my life behind. I was really idolizing the wrong things. And I was in love with the world. And I didn't want to leave the world and the comfort that the world brought me, even though there was so much suffering that the world was bringing me as well. And, you know, in my early 20s, I started getting more into New Age spirituality. And by the time I was 23, 23 and 24 were when I got very heavily immersed in it, like very, very heavily. I was a tarot card reader. I had fully turned away from Christianity. I was learning about different deities. I was learning about Roman deities. I was learning about Greek deities. I was learning about, you know, I was worshiping self. I was in this whole other weird area. And we know in New Age spirituality, it kind of takes pieces from all different religions and all different spiritualities and like makes its own thing. And everyone in New Age has a little bit of different beliefs and different practices. So I had like some warped views that were taken from Christianity, but kind of had like weird spins. I was heavily studying occultism. Like, I was learning about demonology. I was learning about the occultic stuff, because once you're in New Age, it opens up the doors for all these other things. And, you know, it can start off with hearing about like the universe and spirit and like self-worship. And then all of a sudden there's doors open where you're learning about witchcraft and you're learning about demons and you're learning about Greek deities and Roman deities and like Norse deities and like all of, and it turns into like this weird mesh. There are some people who believe that we're extraterrestrials coming here to like enlighten. Like, there's, it turns into like this weird mishmash of all this different stuff, and you just take what you want. You choose what you want to believe in, what makes sense to you at that time. And I was really deeply ingrained in that. And then when I was 25 and I was in the lowest point of my life, the Lord was really working on my heart and the Holy Spirit was really knocking at me. And when I finally started listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I started being led away from New Age. Step by step, I was told to throw away tarot cards, throw away crystals. I was told to start surrendering in this way, to start fasting in this way. I started reading my scripture every day. And before I knew it, I didn't even know it was Jesus working in my heart at that time, until one day the thing, you know, there were some things that happened. I reflected and I realized, oh my gosh, it's been Jesus Christ this whole time. So Jesus found me when I was in my mess. And this is where I kind of want to start, because this is where, for the first time in my life, I had a serious, solid relationship with Jesus. Because I have this weird recognition that, like, my whole life I had prayed to God and talked to God, but I had never accepted Jesus. I saw them as very separate. I saw God as, okay, the creator. I didn't really see him as a father. And then I knew what Jesus Christ did, but it was like I was trying to live life without Jesus and without his sacrifice, and I honestly did not see the importance of Jesus. I heard everything he did. I was every Sunday in church growing up hearing about the resurrection and everything, like doing all the Easter. But it was this weird, like, I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ truly as my Lord and Savior. I didn't have true reverence for what he did. And I really saw him separate from the Father. I didn't see the three in one. And I didn't, it was that day when I really recognized, oh my gosh, my entire life I've been trying to do it without Jesus. Like, I've been looking at them as separate, as I can take God but not take Jesus. And that's not true. Like, I need what Jesus did on the cross. I need Jesus. And that's when I started working in my heart of, like, focusing on my relationship with Jesus more. And that was the first time in my life that I had a personal relationship with Jesus. That was the first time in my life where I truly sat down and was like, I am truly a sinner and I need cleansed. I need what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It was like, even though I confessed those things in the past and said those things out loud, it was the first time that I truly recognized it. The first time where it was like, I could no longer defend. I was truly repentant for the things I was doing. It was no longer, yeah, this is bad, but I do it because of this. Like, it was the first moment where it was like, even though, but it was weird because I felt so dirty at first. And then it was like an instantly though, I felt clean because there was the redemption of Jesus Christ. And I had never had that in the past. And for about 2 months, it was just me, the Lord, my Bible, and occasionally I would be scrolling on my phone listening to sermons. I really wasn't scrolling for like a good month and a half. I felt a real conviction to fast from that, and actually, like, life circumstances hit really hard where I couldn't charge my phone all the time. So I had to be picky and choosy about when I scrolled. And that was the biggest blessing because it really, I had to rely on scripture and praying to God, and instead of listening to everyone's outside opinions and what outside people think. You know, I wasn't going to church. I wasn't in a religious setting. I didn't have religious rules being pressed upon me. That was a time in my life where it was literally just me and the Lord. Prayer, scripture reading. And I was confessing my sins to him. I was asking for forgiveness. I was, you know, going about my day, and I would realize, oh gosh, I did, this was a sin. I would take it to the Lord and I would pray for forgiveness in a way that I hadn't in the past. In the past, I wouldn't go for forgiveness. I would explain it away and say, I don't need forgiveness. So the Lord spent a while just me and him locking in. Once the Lord really had, I knew the Lord was taking me through a process. I remember writing it down in my journal of, like, right now God is locking me in with him. He is making it to where, like, Jesus is the one that I go to for everything, for comfort, for guidance, for instruction, that, like, he is building a foundation so that way when other influences do come in, when other opportunities and other things do come in, I will still go to Jesus as the source, and these things won't become my source. These things won't become my idols. The Lord is building a foundation before he's allowing me to expand or, like, other blessings, opportunities to come in. So I was being patient with the Lord in that way of knowing that although it was taking a while because there were some promises, I believed he was going to move me from California back to Indiana. Although I felt like he was taking a while, I knew that he was taking a while for a reason and that he was building a foundation. And when he finally did work the miracles and I got back to Indiana, within the week, I went right back to church. And I actually went to the Catholic church that I grew up in. And it was good at first. Like, I felt like a weird, like, anxiety. And I used to have really bad anxiety. And I do look back at that as spiritual warfare, as the devil did not want me going to church. He didn't want me continuing my relationship with Christ. So I saw the devil try to stop me from going to church through anxiety and things like that. And I really, by the grace of God, through praying to Jesus Christ, got through that. But I really started to get rooted in that Catholic Church, and I'll say that there I developed wonderful connections with people in that church. I don't have anything bad, like wonderful people and people who I truly believe love Jesus Christ, and people who I truly believe want to see other people brought to Jesus Christ. And, you know, I started really diving into the religion, where I started going to confession regularly, like very regularly. I found myself going to Mass multiple times a week. You know, you go to Sunday Mass, but they hold Mass every day throughout the week because there were other Catholic churches in my area that are like related to each other. So like my church would hold it like two weekly weekday masses, like two different days, and then other churches in the city would, and I could just pop over to those if I wanted to go to those. So I started making any day when I wasn't working, if I had the free time, I would go to that Mass. So it was really my understanding that as a Catholic, you know, you're supposed to go. If you have the availability, like definitely Sunday, I was taught that it was a sin actually not to go to Mass. If you skip Mass and you don't have a very, very good reason, then you're sinning, which is something that later became a weight on me. And we'll get into that. But that, you know, I went Sunday because I loved going to church. So that wasn't why it started. But I will say throughout the week, I started feeling, the more I talked to Catholics and the more, you know, that I really looked into what the religion believes, and I started feeling a responsibility of, well, I'm free today, I should be at Mass. I should be, it's a way to praise, and it's a reverence for the Lord. I need to be there. And I found myself being at the church like multiple days a week. I will just say I really dove into the religion. And I even found myself working a job heavily affiliated with Catholicism too, which the job was an absolute blessing from the Lord. Glory be to God. And I'll say that it was a wonderful, at first, I really felt connected to the Lord. And I felt like this is where I'm meant to be. And I will say that I saw the Lord heavily move in my life at first. So I know that the Lord was still working in my life. I know that the Lord was still blessing me. I know he was still speaking to me when I was going through Catholicism. But it was about a month into being back that I had felt the strongest pull to look at other churches. Non-denominational churches, and I could not explain why, but I knew that the Lord was tugging at my heart. So I ended up one Sunday deciding to go to the non-denominational church that was like right down the road from my house. That I had a handful of times gone to that church, like in elementary, because I had a step parent who was Christian and went to non-denominational churches, and I remember him bringing me to that church a couple times, and my grandpa and my grandpa's wife, who, you know, at this point had passed away, went to that church as well. And I went there, and it was very different from what I was used to. I was very uncomfortable, honestly, at first, but the pastor had said something about, after service today, take time and sit and just like talk to people, and you know, there might be someone who has something to say that you need to hear. And after the service was over, I was getting ready to leave, and there were these two ladies who, when I first came in the church that day, because they knew I was new, and they, like, I walked in, and they were like, oh, because they have a lot of greeters, and they had just made me feel really welcome, and they said, like, hey, let's grab, because there's coffee in the church, let's grab coffee and let's talk after this. So I ended up sitting down with them, telling them a bit of my testimony, sharing with them some of the miracles that the Lord worked in my life, and just having really good conversations. And at the end, they told me that there's a young adult group that they have, and they introduced me to one of their connections pastors who got me linked up with the young adult group that met on weeknights. And long story short, I ended up attending that, and I really liked it. I really enjoyed it, and I started making that a routine thing I did on my Tuesday nights. And I would go back to my Catholic church, my Catholic masses on Sunday, because it was really ingrained in me at this point already. Like, it's crazy how fast it got ingrained in me that, like, a service at another church was not Mass. that Catholic Mass was like its own thing and that the service at another church or things like that were not the same. And me choosing to go to that other service instead of going to Mass was a sin. And I need to confess for that. And so I found myself, although I don't know how to explain it, there was like an urge and a want to go back to the non-denominational church. I found myself still going back to the Catholic Church because of that fear of like I'm committing a sin, and I don't want to be willfully sinning. And that was like, I would say, the beginning of kind of like works based and a fear I had that I don't think I was supposed to have. And how move forward to March. So this was about like 5 or so months after, 5 or 6 months after. At this point, I have recognized that the growth in my relationship with Christ has majorly slowed down. I have noticed backsliding in areas. I've noticed anxiety. I've noticed worries. I've noticed fear. I've started feeling convicted about a lot of things. And I've been having a lot of questions. And it's like the end of March. And I am talking to a friend who's not a Catholic, who's a different religion, Baptist, but was raised going to Catholic school. So they knew all about Catholicism knowledge wise, but had a different religious background and still stood by that religious background. And I spent the day asking that person questions. And it was the first time I'd spoken to them out loud where it was like, I have so many questions and I have so many convictions where I know like some people really stand by, but every time I try to justify some of these things, I can't justify them. And I've noticed backsliding in my relationship with Christ. And you know, this person really answered my questions. And I told this person, I was like, I have this overwhelming conviction that I am not supposed to keep going back to the Catholic Church. I have this overwhelming conviction that I am supposed to go to a new church. I don't know which church it is, but like I have this overwhelming, I can't fight the conviction that this is not the church for me, that the Lord is overall telling me this is not where I'm supposed to be anymore. And like I was really emotional telling her, like, I know after having this conversation today that I'm not gonna go back. And I was honest where I was like, it's a little bit scary for me because like Catholicism has become ingrained in so many areas of my life, like work, friendship, connections. Like, what does this mean for all the other areas of my life? How deep is this conviction going to run? What other things is God going to call me to release and to let go of? And it was like this overwhelming, like, glory be to God, He's showing me where to go. But I feel like what He's showing me to do and where to go could mean that all of my life is about to change. And I don't know if I want it to change. I don't know if I'm ready for it to change. I fear that change. And you know, I really poured it out to her. And I left church that day and I left those conversations with her, and I was praying to the Lord that night about my church and everything. You know, that friend so kindly invited me to like attend her church and everything, and I really was entertaining the idea, but I really felt the Lord press on my heart to go to that church and make that church that I had been attending young adults at my full-time church. So that Sunday, it was, I think, like 3 or 4 days later, because I think I had that conversation on a Wednesday, I was at that non-denominational church. And I was making that my church. And before you knew it, that church was my home. I absolutely love it's still my church I attend today. And I have seen the Lord work so many things out in my life, and I've had so many confirmations that this was the church for me, and I will share those with y'all soon. I just wanted to, right now, I just wanted to give y'all a little bit of a timeline for my journey. So, you know, I'd left Catholicism the first time when I was 17 because I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. But the second time, I left it because of personal convictions and hearing from the Lord that, like, this is not where I want you to be anymore. And I remember sharing with that friend that was like, this is, you know, there's sometimes when you feel convictions and when your flesh is fighting so hard that, like, sometimes you kind of try to ignore. And I was telling her that, like, I can't ignore this one. Like, the more we're having this conversation, like, I was admitting to her aloud, I know in my heart that, like, my whole life is about to change. I know in my heart that, like, this isn't, I'm not going to go back to that church on Sunday, that Catholic church. And I want someone who's listening today to hear, like, it's okay to have those mixed emotions. And because when Jesus calls you to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, like, there's sometimes, like, some of the things he's going to call you to do require you to lay everything else at the altar. Because I understood that, like, leaving my church was going to, could possibly affect my work. You know, I had thoughts in my head of, am I going to have a job still? Am I going to be called to quit my job? Am I going to be called to leave my job next? You know, I had thoughts of, like, are the people I'm friends with, like, am I going to be friends with them still? There were people, like, I knew that what the Lord was calling me to do could possibly shift all of these other things in my life. So there are heavy mixed emotions because you want to please the Lord, but that also required me to say, like, now I have to leave all of these other things up to you. It's weird because that's a similar feeling I have recording this today. Thinking back now when I went to start recording this episode, because that was my fear of, like, how is speaking about my leaving Catholicism going to affect my life? How is it going to, speaking about it this publicly and this in depth? Because I do have a knowledge that it could impact some areas of my life, and that has been a fear and that has been a worry. And I have to lay that on the altar today. And I'm honestly really laying a lot on the altar. I'm laying a lot at Jesus's feet by talking about this today. But we're gonna dive a little bit deeper. Now, I wanna share with y'all the convictions I felt and how I felt myself backsliding in my relationship with the Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks through me today. I want to be thoughtful with the way that I word this. Over periods of months, the Lord really started revealing to me that there were extra yokes being placed upon me. There were extra weights, extra responsibilities, extra burdens I was carrying that he did not intend for me to carry. And the more I connected the dots, the more I recognized that these yokes were placed upon me, these burdens were starting to be picked up, the more I got involved in Catholicism. And I would say the first one I noticed was with confession. Because when I went through my period of just having relationship with the Lord when I was in the desert, that was my first time of really confessing my sins to the Lord and one-on-one praying with him. And the first time in my life feeling the overwhelming love and feeling the release and just knowing that I had been forgiven. It wasn't so much reading in scripture, like, you know, confess your sins and you'll be forgiven. It was like a feeling that was like, oh my gosh, I've been forgiven. Like, oh my gosh, this weight has been taken off of me. Jesus has given me a peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, I know. Like, I am forgiven. I am a new creation in Christ. It was an unexplainable that I had never had that recognition. And once I came to Catholicism, you know, confession was heavily ingrained in me. And I started attending confession very, very regularly. And you're supposed to go to confession very, very regularly. And I remember the first time I went to confession, and I was like, because I hadn't gone in like 7 years. So I started spilling out a lot of things. And I don't know how to explain it, but like, all the things I was spilling out to the priest, I had already spilled out in my private time to the Lord. I had already mourned these things. I had already taken these things to him, and I had already felt that weight lifted off of me. And I don't know how to explain it other than when I was in that confessional, I was thinking to myself, I was like, why am I doing this? I've already given this to God. He's already told me I'm a new creation. He's already forgiven me for this. Like, it felt weird. It felt like I was digging up something that, like, months ago had already been, the Lord had already said, you're a new creation. I forgive you. And I just remember having that, like, an unsettledness. And it wasn't a place of, like, uncomfortability or, like, feeling embarrassed. It was a true, like, I really felt like the Lord was, I don't know how to explain it other than it was like, I knew that like, I did not need to be doing this when I had already given it to God. I'm not saying you are supposed to confess your sins. I'm not saying that you're not, but it was, I had already confessed this to the Lord. I had already cried and laid this on the altar. I had already emptied myself out, honestly, and more of what I feel is a pouring out way than it is when like I'm listing them off, because that's what became confession for me, was having things on the list. And because, you know, there's so many other people that need to come in, and the priest, a lot of people say this, the priest isn't the therapist. Like, that's not your time to be explaining and breaking it all down. You're just supposed to be confessing what you've done. And you're supposed to be in and out, you know, where it was like, this doesn't feel like, I know we're not supposed to go all about feeling, but it was just, I recognize that this wasn't my personal private time with the Lord when I was outpouring and confessing it to him, was very different than when it felt like I was just reading off like bullet points with a priest. And I confess these sins out loud to other people too. Like those ladies that I was talking with in sharing my testimony, I had to confess a lot of sins. You know, I share my testimonies, I share my past, I share those things on social media in hopes that they're helping other people. I'm not keeping all these sins to myself. I'm confessing these out loud. You know, but that was the first one where, and you know, I started going to confession regularly. And you know, you're supposed to be confessing your sins before you get communion in the church. And I started realizing the yoke, the burden I was carrying so heavy. I would go to confession on Saturday, and then by Sunday morning, I would be like, in my brain, I'm like, am I allowed to take communion? Because I've sinned since then. I've sinned in my thoughts. I've sinned in my words. I've gotten angry at some point, or I've thought a bad thought, or I've thought this, because we're not sinless. And it started to be a thing where it was like, am I even allowed? It's been less than 24 hours since I've confessed. Am I allowed to like still partake? Am I allowed to still this? And, you know, another example was there are a lot of holidays in the church, a lot of holy days where they say mass is required. You are required to come to mass. And it had been amplified. It had been made known to me a couple times where it's like, if you don't come to this mass, like that's a sin. You're going to have to go to confession for that. And it started to feel very works-based. I started to recognize that like I wasn't going to these services because I felt the Holy Spirit guide me there. I wasn't praying like, God, is this where you want me? Is this your will? I wasn't going because I desired to be there. I was going there because if I didn't, I was going to have to go to confession. If I didn't, that was a sin. If I didn't, that was against God. And there started becoming like a list of boxes that I needed to check to be good with God. Have I gone to confession? Did I attend this mass? Did I attend this service? Have I prayed my rosary? Have I prayed this? Have I said this prayer? My prayers started moving, I noticed too, from intentional and spirit-led to like pre-written prayers all of the time. And I realized that my relationship personally started shifting from like a personal relationship where I was being really open, honest with the Lord, to recited prayers. I felt really good because I was praying my rosary every morning, but I started doing that daily instead of in the morning, instead of my scripture reading and my reflection time and pouring it out to the Lord with Jesus. And I didn't realize it, but like slowly my personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus started taking a back seat to more of the rehearsed, say all of these prayers and do it in this routine and do it in this way. And I wouldn't say it was for show, but I do feel like at times I started being kind of performative with my religion. And the Lord had been, where the backsliding really came in was like these things that the Lord established with me. He established with me in my private time with him. And those 2 months where it was just me and him, that Jesus was all I needed. And that I didn't need to go through anyone else to get to him. That my personal relationship with him was number one. That my personal prayer time with him, that being honest with him, that laying everything on the altar. And, when I was in New Age spirituality before I gave my life to Christ, there was a burden I was carrying for so long of feeling like everything was my role and my responsibility. Because in New Age, a lot of people believe that you're the creator of your own reality, and that like if you're dealing with bad things, you're not thinking positively enough, you're not manifesting enough. And like at the end of the day, all the responsibility of like everything is on you. And it's like there is this burden, there's this weight that you're always carrying of like it's all you. And Jesus really showed me that it wasn't all me and that it was all him. Like all the good things come from him, the guidance from him, like give it all to him. And I don't know how to explain it other than like the more I was in Catholicism, the more I felt like I was slowly moving away from that. And I slowly was starting to like, instead of just checking in with the Lord daily on what do you want me to do personally to grow our relationship? How can I pursue you better? Like, what can I do? I started looking at, well, this is how you do it, is you go to these services and you go to this confession and you celebrate these things and you pray these prayers and you do these things. I don't know a way to explain it other than like I felt like I was starting to be a hamster on a wheel, and I was going around, and I felt more and more distant from the Lord, and I felt more and more like nothing I was doing was good enough. There were more masses to go to, that this was a sin that I was committing, and this was a sin. Yeah, I felt like there were yokes and there were burdens being placed upon me, that I didn't realize that as much in that time. Once I stepped out, once I really started spending my time in my non-denominational church and felt some of those chains broken off of me, I recognized, oh my gosh, these were weights that like I was never meant to carry. Like God wasn't mad at me. God wasn't upset at me. He didn't expect me to go to mass every single day. He didn't expect me to go to these confessions all the time. He wants me to confess to him above these other people. Yes, we should be confessing our sins out loud, but he didn't want me digging up my past every 20 seconds and like drowning in it. Another thing that I felt a conviction for, and I want to be thoughtful with the way I word this, is praying to the saints and praying to people other than Jesus Christ. Praying to Mary, praying to people other than Jesus Christ. I was taught in the Catholic Church, and just about any Catholic, when you bring this up to them, what they'll usually say, and this was my defense for the longest time too, was that, well, they're up in heaven with Jesus. Technically, because if my first conviction was these people are dead, we're not supposed to communicate with the dead, we're not supposed to be praying to the dead. Jesus is not dead, Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven. Yes, we have eternal life with the Heavenly Father, but by earthly standards, they're dead, right? They are living eternally with the Heavenly Father, and that is the first defense. That I would say a lot as a Catholic, and that I'd hear a lot of Catholics say, is, well, they're not dead because they're with Christ. They have eternal life with the Heavenly Father. That we assume that they're in heaven, with the Heavenly Father. So you'll hear them say, so they're not dead. But then by that standard, anyone that has lived with us, our ancestors, that at the same time would start validating ancestor worship. If you believe that your grandma or grandpa was really right with God, then let's pray to them. That really opens up the door. And not everybody is going to have that thought or that conviction, but I did, because I was in New Age spirituality. I knew a lot about occultism. I knew a lot about the witchcraft, where a lot of people would petition their ancestors and petition different deities. And for me personally, that line was blurring a little bit too much for my comfortability. Because another thing that people will say with praying to the saints is we don't pray to them thinking that they have the power, but we pray to them to intercede on our behalf. Meaning basically you can think of it as like you're praying to this saint for healing or for this, for them to then go to Jesus, go to the Lord and say, hey, like, will you please take care of them? Hey, will you please help them? Basically that they have like an extra pull when you pray. I know not all Catholics would word it that way, but honestly, when you really look at it, that's kind of saying, okay, so I pray to them and hope that they have extra pull than my prayer to just Jesus would have. And for me personally, Jesus had really shown me the opposite, you know? So when I was in New Age spirituality, and learning about seeing everyone who's in witchcraft and everything like that, people who wanted help with their love life, there was a Greek deity that they would give offerings to and pray to. They needed wisdom, there was a deity. You know, they wanted protection, they wanted this, they wanted to find this lost thing, they wanted healing in this. They would leave offerings, if it was food, if it was coins, if it was whatever, do prayers, do incantations, venerate them in a way. And for me personally, the praying to the saints and going to the saints felt too close to that. And Jesus had shown me in my private time with him when I was out there for months that I did not have to go to any other source. I could go through him. That no one goes to God except, no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. And that with Jesus coming down here and that sacrifice he made, he opened up a personal line where it's not about temples. And it's not about any of these things. I have a personal prayer line to the Lord. Now, I don't have to go through all of these other people. There aren't all these other rules and all these other regulations. I can go straight to Jesus. And, you know, I tried, especially when doing my rosary and stuff like, but I could not really get out prayers like that. I would feel a conviction as soon as I would start the prayer of like, you don't need to be praying to the saints. You don't need to be praying. You just need to be praying to Jesus. And that was a personal conviction I had. And for me personally, it felt like it was encouraging me to go to a third party source. And although, you know, they would say, well, you're going to the saint and the saint's going to Jesus. So like at the end of the day, the source really is Jesus. That's the middleman, the saint, that's not necessary. In my personal, what the Lord has revealed to me and what I have seen him do in my life is not necessary. And it actually is like an extra step. It's an extra thing that the Lord has not placed upon me. It's something that men have placed. It's something that humans have placed. It's a rule, it's a regulation. And yes, we are supposed to have people pray for us. It is good to have living people on this earth praying for you, but I personally could not justify. And another thing that really, I'm just telling y'all about the personal convictions and things that like were stirring within me that were starting to be kind of red flags for me personally. I would hear people say a lot in the Catholic Church that like, in order to go to heaven, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then I would hear people add on and be a good person. And that never sat right with me. Because what's a good person? We know the only perfect person was Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of different definitions by the world standards of what is good, because that requires you to compare it to something. Oftentimes when we say we're a good person, we're comparing it to someone who we imagine to be worse. Well, at least I haven't done this, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that. Or since I'm doing this, since I'm doing that, it points back to a works-based. I know there are a lot of people who would not call the man who was on the cross next to Jesus a good person. Yet Jesus forgave him. There are a lot of people who wouldn't call Paul, who was once Saul, a good person. You know, what about, was her name Rahab, the prostitute who helped, I believe it was in the book of, was it Book of Joshua? Who helped the men who were coming and spying out the land. A lot of people wouldn't call her a good person, yet she was still spared in that time by the Lord. That was one that like really strongly did not sit well with me, because I know by some people's standards I'm a good person, by other people's standards I'm a horrible person. There are some days I feel really good about who I am and what I'm doing, and there's other days where I'm like, oh, my past, man, and Jesus has to give me some grace. That one never sat right with me, because you know I don't see that in scripture that you're a good person. We do know that once you surrender your life to Christ and give your life to Christ, you know you are supposed to try living a Christ-like life, and that your works do naturally start to shift when you are surrendered to Christ. But our works do not buy our way into heaven, and that one never really sat right with me. And those were some of the questions that there was a person that I talked to and asked these things, and these were just a handful of personal things where it was like, and I'm telling y'all, I really tried to give these things a try. I really tried to, I've read the scripture that people use to defend these things, and I've heard people time and time, and there were even some things I used to recite that like I can't recite now. But for me personally, I felt the conviction, and I've seen God work in my life beforehand, and I was like, I can't. So those were a couple of the backsliding things. You know, y'all, I was trying so hard. There was a monastery like an hour from here where like monthly I was going and I was eating dinner with nuns and having conversations with them and actually receiving like spiritual guidance and spiritual counseling from them. Like I really tried to give it a shot, y'all. And I really tried to say that like maybe some of the things I'm thinking are just judgmental or I just am not open-minded. But the Lord has shown me time and time again. And let me tell y'all about how the Lord blessed my transition, how I had confirmation that I knew that this was the right move for me to make. Because once I decided to go to that church, I started going to that church. And it was the next month. And it for over a year, I had felt the Lord knocking at my heart to get baptized again. And that was one that I had a very rough time with, because obviously, I in scripture you don't see someone getting baptized multiple times. I had been baptized when I was 8 in the Catholic Church. And you know, you grow up in the Catholic Church saying you confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I was very used to one baptism, one and done. You don't need any more. And I really was telling myself that that was like from the enemy. I was like, nah, God's not telling me to get baptized again. Like, that's not, I've already got it done. But God was really knocking at my heart. And eventually I went up to, this was the week before Easter, I went up to my young adult pastor and was like, what are your guys' view on, I got baptized when I was 8 and I didn't get baptized because I gave my life to Christ. I didn't love Jesus. Like I was very honest with myself. And when I got baptized, where was my heart? I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't see Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All the questions that you ask as a baptism, my answer would have actually been no. I didn't try to even live a life pleasing to God. I didn't try to surrender to Jesus anyway. The reason why I got baptized was it was required to be able to do my CCD classes, and I wanted my family to be pleased. I wanted my grandma to be pleased. I wanted to wear the little white dress. I got baptized for worldly reasons, for show, for looks, and because I just felt like it was what I was supposed to do next. My heart was not in the right place whatsoever. And honestly, my understanding of baptism was a weird understanding too. I had understood that since I was baptized, this is my personal understanding. I'm not saying everyone in the church also has that understanding. This was just mine personally, was that that was my ticket kind of to heaven. But as long as you're baptized, you're going to be going to heaven. Like it doesn't matter what I said, what I did afterwards. That getting baptized was me putting my faith in Christ right then there, and like I could live whatever life and go to heaven. That's not the understanding I have of baptism now. But that was my understanding. And When I started expressing to my young adult pastors, like, look, I don't, the same understanding I had of baptism then is not the same understanding I have now. My heart placement, where it was at then, like, I really feel like I'm being called to get baptized again, but like, can I do that? And he was very accommodating and was like, give me your email, like, I'll work this out. And that Sunday, that coming Sunday, I was getting baptized in front of my whole church on Easter, April 20th, which was, God has a real sense of humor. 420, I got baptized. Just funny because for years before then, I was not spending my 420 praising the Lord. I was spending my 420 doing other things. Yeah, and this was my 420 where I was sober and praising God and giving my life to God. And I was a new creature. God works in amazing ways. But I really, that was one where it was like, okay, I really feel like this is where I'm called to be. And it was less than a month later, there was a family member that I had never thought I was going to be reconciled with, I could forgive, that God softened my heart towards this person. And I had conversations with this person, and I learned that they were really working on their relationship with Christ, and they're a totally different person. I'm a totally different person. And the Lord restored, He delivered on the promise of restoration, of restoring that relationship. And it turns out that that person, and this is how I really knew that God was calling me to the church and I was in the right place, was I had, the day before I had a conversation with this person, I felt the Lord really place on my heart, invite them to go to church with you. Just invite them to go to church with you. And when I was having a conversation with them, I was like, do you want to go to church with me tomorrow? And they were like, yeah, I would love to. And they're like, this is actually my church, the place I attend. And I was like, that's my church too. It's like, what? We both attend the same church, just different times. This person just attended a later service than I did. And they said that they had been praying for so long, they wanted someone to go to church with, and that they hadn't been going as frequently because they were uncomfortable going alone. And I had been going alone for the longest time. And I had been praying to the Lord, hoping I would find someone to go to church with. And bam. Now that person attends very regularly with me. If they're not working, because sometimes they work on those days, they're with me at church. And that was my confirmation because it was a blessing. It was a gift from God that we are restored because no one ever thought that we would. This person hurt me so deeply throughout my life since I was a child. And, I had really hardened my heart towards this person. And I didn't believe that I would ever be on talking basis with this person, let alone going to church with them and having the relationship, the close relationship and loving relationship I do with them now. And God answering my prayers and answering their prayers, like I knew 100% that like this is where God led me. And when I shared that testimony with a couple other people, they were blown away by it. And it was like, I know that this is God working. And God had been calling me to serve, God had been calling me to volunteer, and like the doors, there were so many opportunities to serve and volunteer and get involved in this church and working on my leadership qualities. And like it has been a blessing. I'm learning. I feel conviction, but it's like I'm constantly pushed to grow more in my relationship with the Lord. Like every area in my life, I have seen growth. I have seen God move. I've seen God now deliver on promises I've been waiting on for years through my church. And that's just where I'm telling y'all that these have been confirmations on confirmations, where like promises and words from the Lord that I was waiting on Him to fulfill were fulfilled through this church. There was restoration delivered through God used this church as a tool. I'm not saying the church itself did it, but I'm saying that God used. And just a couple of the ways that my relationship with the Lord has been strengthened. I'll say the first thing is like, I just have a constant encouragement to grow in my relationship with God. And for example, right now in my church, we're doing like a 21-week series where every week we're reading a different chapter in the book of John. Throughout the week, there's the assignments to read the chapters. And I know that Catholic Mass is supposed to be, it's not so much supposed to be about learning, it's supposed to be about praising and worshiping the Lord. And Mass, does a wonderful job at that. But I truly believe that the path that the Lord has for me is where I'm at. There is a true veneration. There is a true praise. There is a true worship. We take communion together. We do these things. There is a true praise and worship and honoring of the Lord. But there is also an education. And we're, because I don't believe that I'm ever going to learn everything there is to know about Jesus Christ while I'm here on this earth. You know, it's recorded in the Bible that there are so many other works that Jesus did and so many other wonders that couldn't be contained in this book. I truly believe that there is so many revelation and so many works of God and acts of God that, like, I am, even if I sat down every day and just dedicated every single day to reading and learning about Jesus, I would never learn all of it. But I truly believe that that's the path the Lord has me on, is that I and encouraged to continue to learn and to grow. And I'm in an environment that encourages me to grow and to push myself and rely more on the Lord. And a big thing that I felt a calling over my life from the Lord is to be a ministry and to spread the gospel. And my church has done such a good job at educating me and how to do that. And giving me opportunities to be able to implement what I am learning. The Lord is just really opening up so many doors. I will say that that feeling, that weight, that burden I used to carry of, like, I have to check all these boxes isn't there anymore. If anything, like, I felt so frequently reminded at my church that it's not about the checklist. You know, now I'm not saying that my church is just all love and I feel conviction very frequently. Today I felt conviction in my sermon, because this topic itself, I've been sitting on this topic and haven't put it out there. And I really felt conviction today of, like, I have to obey. I have to lay it at the altar. I have to lay it at the Lord's feet. Whatever comes of sharing this topic, whatever comes of sharing this testimony, I have to lay it at the Lord's feet. And I'm telling y'all right now, like, everything that Jesus has done in my life, like, I truly, like, in between leaving that church and now, like, Jesus has used that, my new church, in so many ways. And I'm not saying that this is the church he'll have me at my entire life, but I do know that this is where he's called me to be at now. For that time being, I know that that was where the Lord had called me to be. And I have seen through how my relationship with the Lord has grown, how my confidence in my relationship with the Lord, and how I've really started stepping into purpose and stepping in obedience and saying yes to the Lord. I truly believe that the Lord has placed me in the place I need to be. So, and I pray, I feel like we're about to start closing up on this episode. I pray that this episode blesses you. And again, I in no way am here to condemn Catholicism or to condemn Catholics or to say that, you know, Catholicism stops your relationship with Jesus, because I don't think it does for some people. For me personally, there were yokes and there were burdens and there were weights. And the church I was at wasn't the church God was going to use to work in my life, for me personally. But there are other people who have been in Catholicism and their relationship with Jesus has flourished. I'm just saying that it was not the path for me. And that in my obedience to the Lord, he has really blessed my obedience and my surrender. And that sometimes, saying yes to the Lord means laying a lot of things at the altar. Because I shared with y'all how leaving Catholicism, I had to lay, like, every other area of my life at the altar. But trust that whatever you leave at the altar, God is going to bless your yes. That was actually what my pastor was talking about today in reading John chapter 6. He was talking about with the five loaves and the two fish, how you give Jesus your best and laying what you do have at the altar and trusting that he's going to bless. And I felt like the Lord was really telling me to share this testimony, even if that meant laying other things at his feet and surrendering every other things and trusting that he's going to bless this testimony and whatever that looks like. I pray that if Jesus is knocking at your heart, if you are listening to say whatever denomination you are, if you are a denomination, maybe you're not even Christian, maybe you just stumbled upon this. If the Lord is guiding you to be open to relocation, to a new church, being planted somewhere else, be open. I think that's the big thing I'm telling you today, is be open to what God is doing. And yes, it might require you to lay things at the altar, but trust him. Trust him. Y'all know, like, I'm laying this as a former people pleaser. I'm someone who is a former people pleaser, who I used to be very, I wanted to be very thoughtful with my words because I didn't want anyone to feel offended. I didn't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. I didn't want anyone to misunderstand things I said. And the Lord has revealed to me that there are some people who are just in life going to be dedicated to purposely misunderstanding what you have to say. If someone is under the spirit of offense, they're under the spirit, like if someone is going to be easily offended or looking for a reason to be offended, they're going to find one. Sharing with y'all a little bit of an example. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I feel like where kind of like the fear and the worry of people misunderstanding what I'm saying is coming from. It was about like a month or so ago, I felt the Lord call me to kind of share a little bit of the testimony about me leaving Catholicism. And I did on TikTok, and it was pretty well received until, you know, I remember saying in the video very clearly saying that, like, I personally didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And all I had said was I grew up in the Catholic Church. I really didn't talk about any of this stuff that I'm talking about today. But there was someone who in the comments very quickly said, well, I'm Catholic and I'm saved. So what are you talking about? And, you know, I had never said in the video that you couldn't be saved and be a Catholic. I had never, that was the most I'd really talk about Catholicism, because I actually was in that video talking about just changing churches and how I felt a call to change churches. And I commented back at that person just saying, you know, that's awesome for you. I'm happy for you. I know a lot of people who are Catholic that I believe to have a relationship with Jesus, I believe to be saved. And this person commented back, like, caution, and said, like, look out for this girl, like, basically saying, be skeptical of me, like, all of these things. And it kind of stuck with me throughout the day, where I was like, God, what did I say that this person felt like I was saying that, like, they're not saved because they're Catholic? And the more I thought about it, I was like, I didn't. You know, those words never came out of my mouth. I never said that. I even clarified it in the comments. But when this person was listening to what I said, that was what they were looking for, was they were looking to be attacked. The more, and I don't want to dive too deep into that, but the Lord really revealed to me, this person was already looking to be offended. You know, this person was already looking to hear. They had already decided that what I was saying was that you can't be saved in Catholic. And that is, I'm telling y'all today, that's not what I'm saying whatsoever, because I've seen with my grandma, who was the first example of Jesus Christ and a truly probably one of the best examples I've ever seen of patience and the love of Jesus Christ. People would, and I know me, because I even tried to gaslight her sometimes when I was younger, and you wouldn't hear her say a mean thing. You wouldn't see her try to get revenge. You wouldn't see her try to get her lick back. She would hum and tune you out and lay it at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling y'all that you can be Catholic and have the fruits of the Spirit. You can be Catholic and love Jesus Christ. You can be Protestant. You can be Baptist. You can be Methodist. You can be non-denominational. I'm just saying that that personally was not the path that the Lord was taking me down. And I tried it, and that was not what worked for me. And that the Lord had a different plan for me. And that's what I want to share with y'all today. So whoever you are watching this, I know we're going around and around. I just want to finish up this podcast really telling you, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Whatever Jesus is calling you to do, whatever he's requiring you to let go of or pick up, you might have fear that's going to affect all these other areas of your life. I'm telling you right now, lay that at the feet of Jesus. Say yes to Jesus and trust that he has already planned for the ramifications. That's what I had to tell myself when I was transitioning to the air church, and I had a fear of like, what about friends? What about community? What about work? What about all these things? And I had to tell myself that if Jesus is calling me to make this move, he has already planned for all these other things. He already knows what's going to happen in my work life. He already knows what's going to happen in my social life. He already knows what's going to happen in all these things, and he's still calling me to do this. So I need to trust what he is calling me to do over all of these other things going on around me. And that's what I'm telling myself today recording this episode, is Jesus already knows the ramifications. Jesus already knows how this is going to impact me and how this is going to affect me. And he is still saying that, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that is why I'm doing this today. I'm honestly telling y'all that this is a denying my flesh. This is a taking up my cross moment, because my flesh did not want to talk about this, record this, or post this. My flesh has been actively avoiding talking about this and doing this, but this is going to help somebody. This is going to set something in motion. This is going to be doing something. Glory be to God. God's will be done with this. So I just want to end this episode with saying that I pray that the Lord blesses you, and that he blesses your yes, and that he blesses your act of obedience, whatever that is, and that you put your faith in Jesus and trust that he has already worked all things out. The things that you're fearful and worried about, he has already worked all these things out. So I just want to say thank y'all for tuning into this podcast. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast, and I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. This was episode 16, and I do ask that you subscribe. Share this podcast with your friends, share this podcast with your family, share this podcast with your church group, wherever you're seeing it. If you're seeing it on Facebook, like my average, I post reels on Facebook. If you're seeing it on TikTok, share it. If you're seeing it on YouTube, share that. But share this with somebody. And tune in for the next episode. God bless.